This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Top beer. Top beer. Top beer.
All right, welcome to another episode of Top Beer. My name is Adrian De La Torre. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Timothy Robert Buckner. Tim, how are you doing today?
Fantastic, fantastic. Just getting back from vacation. I don't know if people noticed, but the past kind of three episodes were all recorded in pretty rapid-fire succession. So, finally back. I wasn't on vacation for 3 weeks, but with the way this show works, we have to record like that if I'm even going to be gone just for a week.
Yeah, you were gone, and I was gone the week before. We actually got to hang out together, which we can get into a little bit later on if you'd like. But really quick, how was your vacation, by the way? I know you went to Northern California, right?
Yeah, it was rainy, but it was nice. Spent some time with Celia, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Celia Bloom from Talking Sheet fame. Also hung out with Hugh from the same podcast. And Michael De La Torre, a good friend of ours who was a former guest on our old podcast.
Also a friend and a friend of the show. How is Mike D?
He's doing good. He's working as kind of a bar brewery manager. He was originally supposed to be a brew apprentice, but he's getting into that beer lifestyle at a fantastic little brewery called Woods in Oakland, in downtown Oakland area.
Wow.
Had a lot of great beers from his work and had some good beers all around in the Bay.
He is living the life that we wish we could be living if it only paid as good as what we're making now, right?
Exactly.
That's awesome, though. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah, Celia, she hasn't been on our Get to Know Lucha Undead episodes. We should have her on because we had her on the first iteration of the Story Germ show that I had.
I don't know that we did, but okay.
No, on Story Germ we did. Remember we talked about the, what was it, the Network Meets Office Space story idea I had?
I don't think that was Celia, but okay.
That was Celia. I'm pretty sure okay. It was Celia.
I mean, you I don't say
know what,
so.
I don't know what other girl you talk to and hang out with, you know, that would have been on that show, so...
Interesting. Okay. Well, if you say so.
I like that I'm remembering stuff better than you nowadays, by the way. That's great.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now.
I remember that correctly. I'm not wrong in that. But anyway, let's not get off on too much of a tangent, Tim.
Today let's not.
We're talking about brown ales or brown-style beers. And what is a brown-style beer? What does that mean? Is it a beer that Donald Trump would put a wall around to keep outside of America? No. This is something different, Tim. This is something good. This is something that if Donald Trump is a beer connoisseur, I don't think he is, he would probably enjoy. Now, according to Wikipedia, it's a style of beer with a dark amber or brown color. All right, that makes sense. The term was first used by London brewers in the late 17th century to describe their products such as mild ale, though the term had a rather different meaning than it does today. 18th century brown ales were lightly hopped and brewed from 100% brown malt. Today, there are brown ales made in several regions, most notably England, Belgium, and America. Beers termed brown ale include sweet low alcohol beers such as Mann's Original Brown Ale, medium strength amber beers of moderate bitterness such as the Newcastle Brown Ale, which I think I've mentioned on the show as a beer that I used to enjoy a lot back in the day, and malty but hoppy beers such as the Sierra Nevada Brown Ale, which I've never had. What does a brown ale mean to you, Tim?
Well, I was going to look here at the list of the, what is it? The Brewers Association 2012 Style Guide.
Uh-huh.
This is the accepted styles as that can be considered brown ales according to the Brewers Association. So okay. There's English style brown. So that's more of what you think of say the Samuel Smith Nut Brown. I would say is probably the number one for something like that. It's got that biscuity old world malts. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
There's brown porters. They're medium dark brown, so they're the kind of lighter bodied porters. Let's see what they have here. They have, their examples are all American breweries that are probably not super well known. I can't think of a brown porter off the top of my head that I know of.
Newcastle.
There's Newcastle, I guess. That well, I don't know if Newcastle is a brown porter, but
oh, brown porter. Right.
Let's see. Right. There's Belgian style Flanders, so that's sometimes like a Flanders red, I think is more well known. There's a Flanders brown that's kind of a brown sour beer. They have the Lips of Faith La Folie, which is one I was actually looking for to do this show, and I couldn't find one for this week. It's a sour brown. I thought that would be interesting to have that style on for the show, but I did not. There's German style brown ale. I think a lot of times are called alt beers.
Alt beers?
Yeah, that's the dark German beers. It's interesting. It's from Germany, and it's alt beer, right? So it kind of makes sense. There's some other alt thinking that come from Germany that is being embraced a little bit more frequently in America at this point.
Hold on, you're telling me that there's some alt thinking coming from the country of Germany? Well, I've never heard that before.
Yes. And then the third...
That's a bad joke. I apologize.
The final style that they accept as a brown ale is American-style browns, which are... it says deep copper, brown in color. So, I mean, when I think of brown beers, it goes all over the place. Again, as I said, Moose Drool is kind of seen as the, or maybe one that people have heard of that's a brown ale. Pretty ubiquitous at this point. So, I mean, the brown ale style goes all over the place, but for the most part, what you think of is kind of headier or heftier, a little bit more to it, a little bit more flavor profile, definitely not light, something that you're going to eat with like red meats and more umami flavored stuff along those lines.
Yeah, it's a very broad umbrella of a beer style. As we mentioned before on the show, it's like you have stouts and you have porters, but there's all different kinds of stouts and porters, you know what I mean? And I don't know what it is, but it almost seems like this is one of those styles of beer that allows for different kinds of, like, you're not going to see a vanilla IPA, but you're going to see like a vanilla something porter. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I don't know why IPAs or more hop forward beers wouldn't lend themselves to those type of, you know, flavor profiles or whatever. But, you know, with brown, with stouts, with porters, I mean, you have more wiggle room, I guess you could say. And yeah, I used to drink if you remember, Tim, I used to drink a lot of the Newcastle Brown Ales back in the day, and I actually really enjoyed that beer. I haven't had it in forever, but I'm hoping to discover something new and something delicious with this style of beer, as I was hoping with stouts and porters, which I did, especially with stouts, I believe. And yeah, so do you want to get into it? Are you ready?
Get into it. I'm down.
Cool. So my first beer. And this is a brewery we've had on the show before, Tommyknocker Brewing Company, based out of beautiful somewhere in Colorado. This is their Maple Nut Brown, a flavorful brown ale brewed with a touch of pure maple syrup, Tim. Well, how does that sound?
Ooh.
4.5% alcohol on this bad boy, ale brewed with pure maple syrup. Let's see what it says on the label here. Tommyknocker slipped into the mining camps of Idaho Springs in the 1800s with the discovery of gold in our mountains and streams. These mischievous elves, though hardly ever seen, were often heard singing and working. They guided many fortunate miners from harm's way and to the gold they sought. Tommyknocker Brewery and Pub, Idaho Springs, Colorado. There you go. All right, so that's enough of that. Let's open her up and give her a whirl. What do you think?
Let's do it.
I like their little logo. He's like a minor dude. He knows about like a big scraggly beard, kind of like you, Tim. Kind of looks like you. You have a red beard, of course, but if you had like a dark beard, you know,
then I'd look like the guy on the wall.
You would. Let's see. Ooh, like I can get. I'm getting a little hint of maple in the nose. Other than that, it's just. Let's see what it tastes like. Oh yeah. Mm. That reminds me of some kind of a stout. This almost seems kind of close to what you would expect from a stout type of beer. You know what I mean? It's very
yeah.
There is a hint of maple in there. It's subtle though. It's not super pronounced. Let me take another sip. That's pretty good, Tim. I like that. I'm not a big fan of Tommyknocker, but I saw this and it sounded pretty good, so that's one of the reasons why I decided to get it. There is definitely like a sort of a maple-y, caramelly taste in there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Obviously, super light on the hops, and definitely more of a little bit more of a malty taste than anything else. But But yeah, like the like I said, it's like maple. It's like maple caramel and what was the other thing I said? Maple caramel and something else. What did I say? I can't remember what I said.
I don't know what you said.
It's good. It's pretty good. Considering it's from Tommyknocker, because I remember I had a beer from Tommyknocker last time. I can't remember what it was, and it wasn't that great. But this is actually really good. I enjoy this. Let me check another sip. That's how good this is. This might be my next milk stout. Remember how I discovered the milk stout from Left Hand Brewery and I fell in love with it? This could be the brown version of that, but it's only our first beer, so who knows, Tim? Who knows what it'll be? What do you have, Tim? What's your first beer for us?
We're just getting started here.
We're just getting started, exactly. I don't want to jump the gun too much.
I do. I want to jump that gun. so I'm starting out Figueroa Mountain, a brewery that I am not, I would say, I am unfamiliar with. I've seen them around. I hear from a lot of people that they're very good, but they're where they're at, and honestly, I'll even say their art turns me off a little bit, so I just don't ever try their stuff. But I figured I saw this. It's Davy Brown. It's the brown ale. It's got, I mean, the art is, I guess it's kind of cool. It's got an old man. He's looking out along the horizon of a farmhouse. It's kind of old schooly. It's in a bottle here. Let's see. Davy Brown is a deep caramel beer that combines wonderful roasted malt, light chocolate flavor, and a blend of northern and Cascade hops.
I like the Davy Brown name because that makes you think of a Davy Brown's locker from Pirates of the Caribbean.
I think that's Davy Jones, but that's okay.
Show some that I know. Oh, and it's really quick, the score for my Santa beer is 2720. Sorry, what were you saying?
It says it's named after the Santa, is it Yanese Valley Pioneer? This beer is a true discovery, both rustic and refined.
Wow.
I'll give this a shot. There's no reason not to, right?
Exactly. But yeah, 2720, by the way, for mine on Rate Beer, which is kind of sad because the reviews I see on the front page are actually pretty good for this beer, and I like it. So I don't know if it's just like beer snobs being beer snobs or what it is, but there you go.
Yeah, it's another one of those. Browns are not considered a very sexy beer. I mean, that article where I was reading off the accepted kind of Brewers Association accepted brands of brown or styles of brown ale was essentially that was the premise, the idea that people don't really think of brown ales as a sexy style of beer or a style of beer to be vaunted after. And it was funny because in the article, a Cicerone was also talking about just how good it is for pairing with things. So it's very interesting to think people aren't into the beer, and it's honestly, you know, because they think it's boring, but that possible boringness actually lends itself to versatility.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like this style of beer, like you said, pairing it, like you could pair it with almost anything. You could pair it with a nice steak and some veggies. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like, I almost feel like this type of beer would almost bring out the flavors in that kind of food, that sort of, that super savory, heavy food. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the guy also had an anecdote in there talking about pairing it with sushi for a sushi restaurant where they were looking for something that would work, and they found that brown ale worked, you know, so.
Yeah,
it can kind of go across the board.
So,
this is a dark. It's actually more of an auburn, I would say, or an amber, like a kind of a dark amber color. A little bit brown. It's got a little bit off white. No, a little bit darker. Maybe like a tannish head that's really thin, but dissipates rather quickly. So you could smell a lot of sweetness. It definitely comes through very sweet, very like cherry wood, little malty. But not crazy over the top in that regard for the nose, and I'll go ahead and give it a taste. Definitely nice kind of tannin mouthfeel, not overbearing though. It's definitely kind of gives you a full mouth for a second that subsides rather quickly. It's a little punchy. It's a definitely got a little bitterness from the roasty and probably from the hops as well. The hops are honestly they don't come through. They come through with just a little bit more kind of maybe in the roasting kind of bittery side, and not necessarily don't really get any floral citrus or anything like that out of the hops, which is interesting because Cascade is an aromatic hop usually, but you don't really get any of that here. Little roasty, little sweet, but not crazy. I'm not super excited for this beer, honestly. It's not terrible, but I could definitely see drinking it. Let me give it another sip.
Yeah, this style of beer I feel like isn't gonna If you're a hoppy lover type of person like I am, you're not gonna want to drink brown style beers if that's what you're into, because this is gonna be more of that roasty toasty type of taste.
Yeah, it's definitely, I could see curling up in the fire, next to the fire with something like this. It's a good cold
cabin beer, right?
Yes, definitely good for camping.
Or you especially being in California, like, going to the beach and starting a bonfire. You know what I mean?
Yes, especially right now, it's kind of extra cold right now. It had warmed up a couple weeks back, and now it's actually getting back to being pretty cold here in LA. And it's a good beer also because this is a beer that I don't necessarily think temperature-wise, really a temperature fluctuation doesn't affect the taste of the beer too much. So you can serve it a little bit warmer. So yeah, you're right. Taking it out camping, maybe you don't have a refrigerator. It's cold outside. The beer's just about the same temperature as the weather. It goes down fine. Again, it's not – I'm not going to see this on the menu at a fancy bar and want to drink them, but I can definitely see roasting up or toasting up next to the fire and drinking one of these.
Yeah. It almost sounds like the kind of beer, like I've said before on this show, like almost like it could be a daily drinker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Something especially that you come home to, Tim. Not the sexy side piece, but like the loyal beer waiting for you in the fridge every night when you get home from a long day at work.
That's it. And at 6% alcohol, it's not going to get you wrecked, but you're not also not going to be drinking them all night and not getting any kind of buzz. And, exactly. It's got IBU of 40, international bitterness unit of 40. I could actually see it a little bit higher because of that really spiky, roasty bitterness that I noticed. And the rating here, the overall rating of 84, the style rating of 93. That feels maybe slightly high, but it feels pretty good, like pretty right on there.
Yeah. All right, Tim. Well, anything else you want to say about that beer?
The only other thing is I was going to say, speaking of that, I was going to go ahead and just maybe put it out there that I did start an Untappd, official Untappd for myself and for the podcast over at Lucha Undead. So I'm going to go ahead and untap rate all the beers that we drink on the show so you can go check back. You can find them online through my account. It's Untappd at Lucha Undead. Maybe I'll make a bit.ly, a tiny URL to get right to it. And have that linked on the Twitter. And if you want to check out the beers, see what I actually rate them on Untappd. If I had to give them my own score, you can check it out there.
Mm. I like that idea. It's almost like when you're listening to music on Spotify and you see what your friends are listening to, you see what your friends are drinking, you know?
Exactly.
It's not as on demand. You can't just push a button and then bam, a bottle of beer appears in front of you, which would be nice. Maybe someday in the future that'll happen, but not right now. So definitely check that out. And all right, Tim, well, I think we'll toss to our first ad break, and when we come back, we'll try our second beer. What do you think?
That sounds fantastic.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Okay, we're back. Tim, I'm really excited. I'm really excited today. I have a feeling that this episode is going to be a lot better than our last Top Beer episode that we did, which was the Mexican-style beers. And because that episode, let's be honest, it was a bit of a disappointment for both of us. You did have the Beerito, though. The Beerito from Oscar Blues, which, by the way, I was at a winter beer festival in Boulder, Colorado this weekend. And I saw the Beerito. I saw it there at the Oscar Blues booth. I didn't try it because I wanted to try their old chub, which I did. And it was good, by the way. It was actually pretty good. It's not something that I would drink regularly, but it was pretty tasty. And I also, the first brewery that we tried some beers from was from the Avery Brewing Company. Now, Avery has been on the show I don't know how many times now. You know,
at this point,
they should be paying us to be on the show. And I saw this beer today, Tim, and I'm really excited about this beer. I mean, that's why I'm also excited about this episode, which I know is going to be better than the Mexican beer episode. Because in front of me, Tim, I have, from Avery Brewing Company, Ellie's Brown Ale. right? Ellie's Brown Ale, brewed and bottled by Avery Brewing Company in Boulder, Colorado, named after our beloved chocolate lab, which, by the way, there's a chocolate lab on the label, the profile of chocolate lab. This beautiful, deep, russet brew is dominated by a chocolate and brown sugar maltiness with hints of vanilla and nuts, producing a very smooth and balanced, quaffable brown ale. Brewed with Rocky Mountain water, malted barley, hops, and yeast. I've never had Rocky Mountain oysters, but someday. 5.5% ABV on this bad boy, and I'm gonna just open it up. I'm not gonna keep describing it. I want to just get right into it, shall we?
Wait, so. Adrian, stop.
What's that?
My second beer is Avery's Ellie's Brown Ale. We did it. We're back on the same page.
That's we've done this at least 3 or 4 times now, I think, right?
Yeah. So I'm gonna pour mine out. You can go ahead and taste yours.
I will.
I'm gonna pour some out for the Gipper. Mine, it's similar actually to the last one in color. It's ambery red or ambery brown. The head is a little bit thicker, a little bit more to it. It's hanging around a little bit more than the other one, but it's still similar colors.
Yeah. You know what? Wow.
This has a better smell to it. It comes through more, I don't know how to explain it, but a little bit more earthy and a little bit more kind of planty and fresh. Maybe the other one has gone bad or something.
I was just going to say that this does have a little bit of an earthiness to it. It almost feels like this was just brewed straight out of the ground, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. It's actually really good. And
it says here, it's got crystal and chocolate malt, so I think that's helping out too as well to build some of that.
Oh yeah, this the chocolate roastiness is definitely it's definitely there. It's not like super strong, but I can definitely taste it. I think it's less pronounced in this though than it was in the Tommyknocker, which is fine. It doesn't have to be super in your face about it.
No, why does it need to be?
Why does it need to be, right? It's like when I had we've talked about on this show the Death by Coconut beer by Oscar Blues. And how it has the perfect balance of a coconut flavor in the beer. It's not super pronounced. And that's what I'm kind of tasting this beer right now. And it's actually really good, Tim. Really good. What do you think so far?
I'm going to taste it right now, actually. I was being an idiot and not drinking yet. I was too busy listening to you.
And since we both have the same beer, I'll do the honors. This has an 84 over 94 on ratebeer.com.
5.5% alcohol per volume. It doesn't list IBUs, which is interesting because I can see why, because it doesn't really have any bitterness to it.
No, there's no bitterness at all. It's actually it does go down pretty smooth. So if you're one of those people that hates like a high IBU type of beer, you like something smooth. Like I remember when I started drinking Guinness for the first time back in the day, and I remember how smooth the Guinness went down. And this is similar to that. You know what I mean? So
yes, definitely.
People who don't like high IBUs will appreciate this, and yeah, I can definitely there's
I like it. The as it says on the label or on the description here, the vanilla and nut, I could definitely get that. It comes through, as you said, really. It's just a smooth. I think is the apropos word to use to describe this beer. It's very just smooth. Very smooth.
Smoother than Michael Jackson. This the vanilla nuts too. It's actually a nice balance of the two. Along with a little bit of roastiness. You notice how there's only a touch of roastiness to it, not like a whole lot. Like
yeah, it's again like the last one, the roastiness. I think the hops and the last one I drank, I think the hops were really kind of antagonizing the roastiness to make it have a bitter kind of punchiness. And this one doesn't have it at all. It's smooth all the way through. This is a great beer. But Adrian, you know, as we do when we're in these situations where we're both drinking the same beer, now it's time for us to shoot the shit, right? I mean, so what's up, Adrian? What's new in life? Well, or do you have any beer stories you wanted to share?
Just really quick, I did want to talk about I went to the Winter Beer Craft Festival in Boulder, Colorado yesterday. I texted you a couple pictures, including one which was a barrel-aged double IPA, Tim. Now, you've had barrel-aged beers. You know what the general taste of a barrel-aged beer. Now imagine a barrel-aged double IPA. It was like, I don't know how to describe it other than just, it had that sort of tangy vibrancy of like what you would expect from a barrel aged, something like a wine almost, but it was a beer. And on top of that, it was a double IPA, which, you know, I love IPAs. It was really delicious. And I wish I could remember off the top of my head which brewery it was from. Ooh. Which I think I texted it to you, which I'll look it up right now. But it was really good. It kind of reminded me, remember the Tart of Darkness that I had, which is, I think was a barrel-aged beer as well?
Yes.
It kind of reminded me of that, but an IPA. Because the Tart of Darkness was a dark-style beer, if I remember correctly.
It was a dark sour, I think.
Yeah, and a dark sour, exactly. And this one was, yeah, okay, so it was a 471 barrel-aged double IPA by Breckenridge Brewery. I think you've heard of Breckenridge. I think you know that they're owned by one of the big beer companies here in the U.S. What is it? I think it's Bud Light InBev or something like that.
AB InBev?
I think they own Breckenridge now, which when I heard about that, I thought, oh, so they've sold out. Like, they probably
didn't. Right.
But no, I've never had before and after that, I haven't really had Breckenridge until yesterday. And I was impressed him. Like, if I see this beer, you know, in the stores, I'm definitely going to go for it. It's not a daily drinker. It's not something you would get like all the time. It's not your you know, come home to beer. This is your side piece. You know what I'm saying? This is a beer that you enjoy on special occasions. This is a beer that you enjoy by a campfire. This is a beer that you enjoy when your boss gave you a promotion at work. I don't know how often that happens with you, but you know, if that ever does happen, you could drink a beer like that and enjoy it. So it was really good. I got to try some really good beers. Speaking of Avery, by Avery, they have this IPA. I can't remember what it was called. It was like the first thing I had. It was really good. And Avery, which I didn't know this, Tim, they have a sour style beer. They have a I think it's an apricot sour style beer. It's really good. Very sour, but very delicious. And if you ever see that anywhere, I highly recommend that you try that. So enough about me, Tim. How's been life for you lately? I know you went to vacation, so do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. What the heck? I got something from you. I don't know what it is. Oh, did you just text me?
No, unless I did by accident. Sorry.
The internet, I think, just thought that you were texting me. So yeah, let's see. The trip was good.
You said you tried some beers at
I was going to get into that. I know that there's an Avery raspberry sour, though. I'm not familiar with the apricot.
Yeah, this is definitely an apricot sour, I think, by Avery.
And the Breckenridge Brewery, if anybody happens to be listening to this live as we speak, according to Google, the Breckenridge Brewery Tap House is not too busy right now, so it'd be a good time to pop in there and grab a beer.
Yeah, if you're in Boulder, Colorado, yeah.
If you're in Boulder, Colorado, and you happen to be listening to this live, which is impossible, rush down there now as we're talking, as we speak. So yeah, my trip was interesting, I would say. We got up there Wednesday night. We hung out with, as I said, Celia. We went to a place. Now, this place was called Beer 30. And I knew that I was in the Bay Area for what is San Francisco Beer Week, but we were in, not necessarily in the Bay, I'll say. And we were just kind of like, oh, let's go to this place. It's called Beer 30. She said it's next to, it's got like bar food, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, that works for me, whatever. When we get there, because it's San Francisco Beer Week, they're doing a sour festival that night.
Oh, nice.
And so they had a bunch of sour beers on tap, a bunch of really good stuff that I got to try. You know, interesting, good, very good beers. And one thing that they had that I've been looking for a long time is the Lost Abbey Framboise de Amarosa, which probably means like raspberry love or something along those lines. And it is the Lost Brewery's raspberry sour that they don't bottle anymore. So I had been looking for where I could find it. And then they just happened to have it there. I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit of a letdown. It wasn't as good as I was hoping, but it was still very good. Had a lot of other really great beers there. Then I was kind of, throughout the vacation for me, the kind of theme of the thing was kind of Pliny the Younger. No, I wasn't going to do the wait in long line. I wasn't going to do the go out of my way, but I had decided if it could happen, I would like to try it because we're near the Russian River Brewery where they actually make it. So I figured it was more possible there than it would be here to just happen upon it. So, you know, every day there would kind of something would come up and I would go, okay, I'll check it out, because I was following a Twitter that was updating whenever someone would post that they were drinking Pliny on Untappd. I was checking out the Untappd. I was looking for different events where they're drinking Pliny. And one day I went to a place called the Smoke Eater, and I was like, okay, this is, you know, this is going to be good. I'll check it out. They're supposed to be having a Pliny event. The event started at 11, and I unfortunately, kind of just the way everything worked out, I didn't get there until it was probably about 1, maybe 1:30 range, and they were completely tapped out of Pliny the Elder, Pliny the Younger, and a couple other crazy hop bombs that they had. But they did have a triple IPA by Knee Deep Brewing, which I believe I had it said N-E, but then they never explained what it was. It was the N-E Auburn IPA from Knee Deep before. But they had, it was called No Seeds, No Stems. It was a triple IPA, and it was probably the best triple IPA I've ever had. It was not overbearing in any way. It was sweet, super easy to drink. So I was kind of like, well, I missed out on Pliny the Younger. I didn't end up getting it on the whole time on vacation. But that Knee Deep, No Seeds, No Stems, I'd say probably better. Honestly, Pliny's just overhyped. I don't necessarily know that it's all that great. I'll still attempt to try it here because there's an event coming up next weekend that I might be able to get to on Saturday morning where I can try it out. But realistically, I'm not concerned. I think I'm into the Knee Deep. That their triple IPA was fantastic. Me and you had triple IPAs from El Segundo that are really good. So there's no point in chasing white whales, guys. That's kind of the moral of the story.
It's funny you say that, though, Tim. Because to me, I don't know about you, but to me, the white whale beer that I want to drink again is that Asahi. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. To me, the white whale beer that I want to try is that Asahi Black that we had at that one sushi place in downtown Los Angeles that one time. Remember that?
Yeah, I love that beer, man, and it's been gone for a while.
It's been gone, but that's my white whale. I'm gonna someday find that beer again. So it sounds like you had a lot of fun then. I think people listening, we've both been to Beer Fest pretty recently, and we do this for you guys, the listeners. You
know,
we're out there doing our research to bring you guys a good beers that you should try, that we try first, obviously. So there you go. I think that's pretty responsible of us as beer journalists.
It is.
So awesome, Tim. All right. Well, how did you enjoy this one, by the way, so far, the Ellie's Brown? I mean, it's pretty good.
I like it. I'm into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Avery and Oscar Blues are breweries that make beers that you can just drink on such regular basis. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're really good. I mean, craftsmanship, as I say, in beer, where you really get a beer that you can count on. Almost all their beers are good. And they're, again, easily distributed. You find it kind of everywhere out here. It's from Colorado, right? Yeah. And it's like, they've been doing it for so long. You know, that's the thing. The kind of Colorado is the craft beer mecca, kind of.
It's, you know, that's the truth in a lot of ways. I mean, there is so many and I think I read the other day that there's so many people signing up for brewery licenses nowadays that it's like there's a waiting list because there's just so many people trying to do it. Not just here in Colorado, but just in general. And it's just kind of crazy to me that's how big of a... But Colorado still, a lot of breweries here still somehow manage to deliver some really tasty, delicious brews. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, Tim. Well, let's go to our second break. When we come back, we'll try our third and final beer. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Placement Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlacementNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Placement Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
We're back with our third and final beer. Tim, I will do the honors first before you go. This is what I have in front of me, Tim. Upslope Brewing Company. You've heard of Upslope. I've had a beer from them on here.
Okay.
They're also based out of Boulder, Colorado, Upslope Brewing. This is the Upslope's Brown Ale, their roasted malty aromatic beer. 6.7% alcohol by volume. Ingredients: snow melt, malt, English hops, American yeast, brown sugar. Specs: handcrafted aluminum can, portable, recyclable. Good. Now, let me preface this by saying that Upslope is not a brewery that I am going to write home about. You know what I mean? It's an okay brewery. I've had a Saison by them. I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you. I've had a Saison by them that's actually pretty decent. Not the best Saison. Not as good as the Saisons I've had on the show. But it was all right. You know, for what it's worth. So I'm hoping this is good. I'm hoping this is, you know, at least on par with what a brown ale would be or whatever. So let's go ahead and try that, shall we?
Yeah, give it a taste.
Just give it a taste. Here we go. I really wish every beer now came in the can. Fuck this bottle shit. So this is my only can tonight, by the way. Ooh, that has a bit of a sort of a nutty taste in the nose there, Tim. I like that. Let's give it a taste. Oh wow, that's super roasty. that's probably the most roasty I've had tonight as far as beers go. Shit, you know what? Honestly, I feel like in a way, brown ales are very close to like what a stout would be. And you know why I say that? Because when you go on brown ale on Wikipedia, when you type that in, at the very bottom, you know what it says? See also mild ale, porter, stout, and root beer.
So, yeah.
You know, I guess that's to be expected. But this is the stoutiest of the beers I've had tonight, even though it technically is a brown ale. Very roasty. I'm not getting really much of anything else in there. I mean, on the can it says snow melt. I can't really taste the snow. I don't really know what snow tastes like. Do you, Tim?
No, I have no idea.
definitely the malt. I think it's the English hops that I'm getting more than anything else. English hops, I feel like, almost have a very sort of distinct taste to them, right?
Yeah, you can kind of tell.
Like, would you know something had English hops if someone didn't tell you that it had English hops over? Like,
yeah, probably.
Compared to Centennial hops or any other kind of hops?
Well, I mean, it depends on which hops, but, like, it depends on which English hops. But there's probably a good chance I could pick it out.
This isn't bad, though. I hope people don't misinterpret what I'm saying here. This is actually a pretty good beer. It's not as a brown style as I thought it would be. Like I said, it honestly tastes more like a stout, but it is a brown ale, so I guess that's probably what would explain it. On Rate Beer, this has 92/98, Tim. So I guess this is more true to what a brown style beer would be compared to what else I've had tonight, at least according to the internet. And this is the commercial description for it, which I always like to read. The British introduced the brown ale way back in the 17th century. It was a light brown and sweet, and brewed exclusively with brown malt. Brewer Chad Piper decided that this was a good foundation, but as Americans do, the style needed to be Americanized. It needed to be roasted and malty, which it definitely is, and it needed to be a little bit more bitter than the style that was English second cousin to the mild ale. So Mild ale. That's the second time I've seen mild ale tonight. I don't know if I've ever seen a can or a bottle that said mild ale on it. Have you, Tim? Like, do you know what, like, a mild ale would be? Like, is that, like, even an actual label, or is it just, like, I mean, what is that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not familiar with hearing people say that very often.
Right.
Especially with everything being so push it forward. Style of beer originated in Britain in the 17th century or early. Predominantly malty palate, modern mild ales are mainly dark colored, ABV of 3 to 3.5, yeah. Although they are lighter hued. Examples of a stronger, it reached 6, so I guess it's, oh, you know what, I've had a mild ale from McLeod. They have a one of their beers is a mild ale. It can be golden or it can be brown. I prefer the brown because at least then it usually has a little bit more flavor, but it's really a light beer. It's, I guess, probably the original light beer.
Yeah, and it's funny because this one, by the way, in the back end, I'm getting a lot of a sort of a coffee flavor. That sort of roasty coffee taste that you get when you drink coffee. I didn't get that with the other two beers I've had tonight. So I think this really is more true to form as far as a brown style beers go, Tim. So not bad.
Oh, no. You know what? I also went to, it was East. Oh, God. I'm trying to remember the name of the place. It was, they weren't terrible, but it was a decent little brewery that was just opening up. And they were also a cast beer place. And it was called like East Valley, East something. But it was up in, I can't even remember. But it was up in the Bay Area when I was just going to lunch one day while Alicia was taking a nap, and they had mild ales as well, and they were explaining that it wasn't as mild as I guess you might think based on the name, and it was, but that was a golden one, and it was more like an ESB, like a extra special bitters kind of mild ale, and it said that too. It said extra special bitters aren't necessarily extra bitter; they're just like a different kind of bitter. So, yeah, it's definitely a British style. It's not something you're going to see too commonly in America.
Yeah.
And I think it's predominantly a cast or a real ale, as they call them, style, where it's the carbonation comes from the brewing process. There's no added carbonation. They're stored in essentially a growler at room temperature, and they're hand pumped at the tap.
Gotcha. I have to admit, by the way, whenever I go to any kind of brewery or bar or pub or whatever, when I see the brown, you know, beer on their menu, I always avoid that. And tonight, I'm glad that I got to try these because now maybe I won't avoid these type of beers anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I totally know what you're saying. So I guess I'll go for mine. And as you were talking there about stouts and all that, as we were saying earlier, or when I was reading the definition of brown ales according to the Brewer Association, brown porters are technically considered a brown ale or a brown style. So what I have here is the Mammoth Brewing Double Nut Brown, and it's a porter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I saved it for last because it's technically a brown style, even though it is a porter. It's from Mammoth Lake, California, obviously Mammoth Brewing. It's lighter in color and in kind of thickness as the last two beers that I drank, so it's kind of funny. It's considered a porter. It doesn't look like a porter really at all. If you saw this, you would think it's just another brown ale.
Yeah.
It's really opaque. I mean, you can see right through it, so it's not even super dark at all. It's, the head is a lot more effervescent, a lot thicker, similar color, brownish color. A lot more coffee roast kind of coming through in the nose. It says it's a, what is it? Coffee, dark chocolate. It's amped up version of their traditional brown porter. The dark ale combines mild bittersweet with a finish of roasty dryness. It's brewed with roasted brown and dark Munich malts. So mix of different Munich malts, coffee, chocolate. It's, yeah, good stuff. I'll check it out, see what I think. I'll give it a nice little sip here.
There you go.
Ooh. I mean, the roasted malts come through super strong. The chocolate coffee isn't even really there too much. It's mostly roasted malts. It's a little heavy sweet, light bitter. Yeah, I mean, toffee, maybe a little berry, cherry kind of tartness to it. A little spicy, but I mean, yeah, it's not thick, not overcarbonated.
Is it dry on the back end? Because I feel like the last beer I had, the one by Avery, which you had as well, was a little dry on the back end. How's this one on like, how's it finish?
The roastiness really comes through throughout the finish. So I guess you could say crisp and dry. Definitely no sweetness on the back end.
Okay. That's not bad. I feel like everything really you had today is pretty good.
Yeah, this is I would say a very crushable brown ale, as I like to say. When I was talking to our friend of the show, Michael, as we were talking about the kind of petite sour gozes and different styles, which because he's working in a brewery, he said, what is it, goze, or what, however you're supposed to say
Gose,
it. Goza? Goza. He was saying goza, and I was saying I refuse to say it that way. Because it's an American word, damn it. Goza might be a German word, but goes is an American word.
Make goza great again.
Yes. And I was just saying how I love referring to, you know, a nice subtle, maybe a goes or a Berliner Weiss, calling it a really crushable beer. And this is, I would say this is a definite crushable porter, especially. 5.5% alcohol, no IBUs on this either. Overall rating 85, style 83. Not necessarily knocking it out of the park, but also not a terrible beer.
Above average, I think is safe to say. No,
I would say
that's not bad. All right, well, that sounds pretty good to me. I feel like so far everything we've had tonight has been pretty decent. But what will our top beers be, Tim? What will it possibly be? Right? I mean, we have to wait and find out what our top beer will be in the next segment after we go to this commercial break. What do you think?
I am still formulating. I honestly cannot decide, but I'm excited to come back from break and share it with our friends on the podcast.
We'll give you some time to think about that. All right.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Okay, we're back. Now, Tim, before we get into what our top beer is going to be, I want to go ahead and talk about this news article I found. This is from mensjournal.com, so you know it's legit. Mensjournal.com. Uinta Brewing announces beer brew to support our national parks. Now, I don't know if you know this, Tim. Uinta is based out of Utah. They make some good beers. We've both had beers from them on this show. And Utah is home to a lot of national parks. Well, at least several national parks. I'll get into it. Uinta Brewing announced this week that they will be releasing new golden ale dedicated to the national park system in the U.S. The Salt Lake City-based brewery, which identifies itself as a brand powered by adventure, plans to release several iterations of the golden ale, each containing packaging honoring one of the nation's national parks. Though Uinta is calling the launch its Golden Ale Rotating Park Series, the rotation is really in the label design, rather than the recipe of the brew. For each golden ale release, of which there are currently 8 planned, the beer itself will remain the same, while the can promotes a different national park with an original illustration. The park series will launch the golden ale can depicting the Yosemite National Park, Yosemite Yellowstone Arches, Great Smoky Mountains, Acadia, Grand Canyon, Rocky Mountains, and Everglades so far, are created in partnership with the Anderson Design Group of Nashville, Tennessee. Now, what do you think about that? What do you think about that premise so far? I mean, you know, there's been some talk of, like, what was it? I think this current administration wanted to cut some budgets for the national parks or whatever, and they sort of retaliated by, like, on Twitter, I think they took a, they took to Twitter, the National Park Service, against President Donald Trump. But Uintas kind of fighting back in their own way, and I think that's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's nice to see their golden ale. They have different, they have the arches, like I said, they have the arches, the Half Dome, they have the Yosemite National Park. I mean, it's a political message, but they're doing it in a sort of a creative way, which I can appreciate, Tim. I don't know about you, but I can appreciate that a lot.
I most certainly can agree with you.
Inspired by and intended to be drinkable during adventures in the great outdoors, Uintas Golden Ale, low in alcohol, 5.3%, contains a simple malt bill of carapils and crystal malt varieties and is moderately hopped with Willamette and Sterling hops. Uintas said the brewery's proximity to several national parks has inspired the Golden Ale rotating series, which has been a goal of the brewery's for several years. According to Uintas CEO Steve Mills, many of the explorations that have inspired our beers have happened in and around national parks. We're fortunate to have five national parks within 5 hours of the brewery and hope that our golden ale encourages consumers to get out and explore those that surround them. Uintas has also released a short video shot in Arches National Park featuring Isaac Winter, head brewer and head of research and development at Uintas. In the video, Winter echoes that much of the brewery's inspiration has come from the accessibility to the parks and nature. The Golden Ale Park series launched in February of this year and will be available in 6-packs of 12-ounce cans in 37 states. There are currently 58 national parks in the U.S., totaling more than 84 million acres. Uintas said, to find a national park near you, visit the National Park Service. And I think that's really awesome. I mean, I don't know about you. I think that's great. 84 million acres of national parks. That's kind of insane to think about, isn't it? 84 million acres? I mean, how much
is
that?
It is.
That's like, I mean, I don't know. That's a lot. It sounds like
a lot.
Yeah,
but we got a lot of land here in America.
We do. We really do. People don't think about
it. And we should try to save as much of it as we can, honestly.
And if buying one of these beers by Uintas supports the cause, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, buy it in a 6-pack, too. Why not?
I could see myself drinking either of these beers, either of these, you know, definitely the Golden Arches. I think that's the coolest one, and it's home to Utah as well, the Golden Arches National Park, so... So yeah, if you see those in your local store, don't be hesitant to pick one up, right, Tim?
I know I've seen them. I've seen them in my store, yeah. Or my local store. I saw the pack. I should have grabbed it. You're right. I haven't gotten a chance to try it yet. But you know what's funny is I almost talked about this article on the Brews in the News episode we did a couple weeks back. Looking at it. So I'm happy that you kind of brought it up because I didn't. I'd be very interested to see what it's like because, I mean, it's only – all I ever see the beer described as golden ale, which for me, whenever I think of golden ales, a lot of times I think of Belgian's goldens, Belgian quads, triples, stuff like that. But I wonder what kind of beer it really is. But the can art is super cool, and supporting national parks is even cooler.
Yeah. And like I said, not to get too political, but – in this sort of climate we're in, you kind of have to support stuff like that. You know what I mean? Especially when someone threatens to, I don't know, cut the budget or whatever for that. I mean, it's the great outdoors. I feel like the great outdoors is what made America. Lewis and Clark didn't cross and go through all these thousands of miles to get to the West Coast for nothing, right? Sacagawea didn't hang out with them and help them out and shit for nothing.
And actually be the one who did everything?
What's that?
Sacagawea.
Oh, that's yeah. That's
they would have died without her.
Exactly. You know, this is like over 100 years in the making, if you ask me. It's part of American history. It's part of a big institution, which is our national parks. I think we have some of the best national parks in the country. I haven't visited all of them, but the ones I have visited are fantastic. They're huge, Tim. They're pretty huge, if you ask me.
Huge.
So yeah, there you go.
Sad.
But enough about that. Tim, I think you know what time it is.
No, I don't know what time it is, and I don't think you know what time it is.
Oh, but I do.
I was going to steal a line, as you were saying. It's important in this time to do it. I'm going to steal a line from Two Dope Boys, a podcast that I really enjoy, that there are no sidelines in our current climate. I'm sorry, but no matter who you think you are, you can't really take that. Oh, I'm apolitical, because right now it's super important. You got to support the things you believe in, and you got to vocally talk about the things you believe in. But I like the idea of you doing this news story every week, but you know what I'm going to do every week to counterbalance, as I'm now obsessed with this Untapped? I'm going to do my Untapped pickup review of the week. I'm just going to randomly pick one that was nearby. I'm going to kind of give away when we're recording this by doing this, but it doesn't matter. I think people know we record in advance. Wow. This is from Nathan, and he's checking in from the dank place, and he's drinking a Lights Out Monkish Brewing Company Imperial / Double IPA.
Ooh.
He gave it a 4-star review. It's a super hazy, and he's pouring it even in the monkish glassware, which is nice to see that he's got the monkish glass and he's pouring his beer in there. And his review of the beer says, pasta sauce making, growler drinking, Oscar watching with the fam. So I'm going to give it up to Nathan. I like your review. I'm going to tell everybody to go check him out. I think let me see if I could find what his actual untapped name is on here. You know what? It's not working. Everybody just go look for Nathan. No, actually it came up. And then I obviously, as soon as it came up, I blocked it out because I'm a jerk. Let's get his actual username. Grumpy Jungus, Jungless, I guess. So it's Grumpy, J-U-N-G-L-I-S-T, Southern California. I'm going to send him a friend request as we're on here, as he's our untapped review of the week.
Nice. Very nice. I know you've had beers on the show from Monkish, which I've never had, but I'd like to someday. Unless we
have to check it out next time you're here in California.
It's in Torrance, California. Did we not go there at one point? I thought we went to
We almost did.
Okay. Monkish sounds good. I'm actually on their website right now. They have some pretty delicious sounding brews over there. So
yeah, we'll have to give that a shot next time we're there. But Adrian, you know what time it is now.
Now I know what time it is, Tim. It's time to announce our top beer. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
Go ahead and go first.
Okay. You know what, Tim? I kind of have to hand it to tonight, this episode. I have to hand it to Avery Brewing Company. I really enjoyed their Ellie's Brown Ale. I think it's delicious. I think it's a beer I can see myself drinking pretty regularly. And it was a hard decision, Tim. Don't get me wrong. Tommyknocker, they brought it in with the good maple nut brown ale. Upslope has a decent brown ale. They have a really good score on that as well in rape beer. But my favorite tonight was Ellie's Brown Ale by Avery Brewing Company, Tim. I really enjoyed this beer. I could see myself drinking it pretty regularly. So there you go. There's that. What about you? What about you, Tim? What's your top beer?
Well, it's unanimous. The top brown ale is the Avery's Ellie's Brown, named after that chocolate lab that's so cute on the can. On the bottle, too, actually. Actually, what are you drinking out of? You got a bottle or a can?
A bottle. Bottle, yeah.
You got the bottle. Me, too. Yeah. This was a common drinker for me at a time. I actually used to drink the Ellie's Brown pretty regularly, and I remembered why tonight. It's a beer that I actually really like. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going to bash the others, but the Figueroa Mountain just wasn't balanced as much. The Mammoth, good, but, I mean, really kind of light. So, yeah, I think the Ellie's Brown is the top beer.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, and the other two I had, like I said, they were both good, but I could see getting Ellie's Brown Ale more regularly than the other two, and that's what it's all about for me. And this is something I kind of want to mention here towards the end here, Tim. For those people listening, you know, maybe this could be a segment idea in and of itself. I don't know, but this style of beer, like if you do drink Newcastle as I used to. Imagine drinking Newcastle, but better when you drink these type of beers, especially the Ellie's Brown Ale. So if you ever see that, give it a try. If Newcastle's something you drink on a regular basis, try something different. Go for the Ellie's Brown Ale by Avery Brewing Company, and I think you'll be quite pleased, right? I mean,
I think so.
It's a good beer. So there you go. And the reason why I say that is because remember, I think I told you, Tim, that I had a coworker who was like, oh, I just drink, like, you know, Bud Light and Coors and stuff. And I'm trying to think of a beer, the craft beer alternative to that, right? So it's like, maybe I'll suggest, like, I don't know, the 90 Shilling by Odell's. Maybe I'll suggest, I don't know, some kind of a craft lager beer, which there's plenty of craft lager beers out there. So, yeah, maybe that's something we could do every week as well. Who knows, right? So there you have it. Tim, is there anything you want to plug before we go tonight?
Go check out the Untapped at Lucha Undead, obviously. Go check in the Twitter at Lucha Undead. Go listen to We'll do it live about OTT. Really proud of that episode. I thought it was really good. That's over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Check out. That's really it. Honestly, that's the end of what I need to kind of talk about today.
Awesome. Well, obviously follow us at Lucha Undead. Follow me at Dilla Boots. Follow my other show at Story Germ on Twitter as well. Last week's episode was just a recording of me and you, Tim, just hanging out, going to breweries, and we're driving to a brewery in LA. It wasn't about so much as the beers; it was about we were just talking about politics and stuff. But I thought it was a good enough conversation that it warranted it being its own episode. I don't know if you've heard that, by the way. Have you? I sort of just cut the first half hour of it, which was a pretty.
I gave it a quick listen, but because it was just that with not a lot else to it, I kind of just kind of skipped over it, honestly. No, I listened for about 10 minutes.
No, I understand that, but I don't know. I thought it was a interesting enough and funny enough conversation about about Donald Trump that, I don't know, like I said, I just wanted to make it its own episode, but definitely check that out. And did we ever plug our post-election results episode? We did, right? Remember when we recorded that?
Yeah, over on YouTube if you want to hear it. If maybe you want to hear a little doom and gloom to remind you of what it was like that night. But yeah, for sure.
Because if you're not hearing enough about politics, listen to that episode, right?
Right, exactly.
All right, Tim. Well, I think this has been another successful episode of Top Beer. Tim, we always go out on a very interesting saying that you know more than I do. What is that saying, Tim?
Oh, that saying is, life, even in these times, are all about the three Bs, which is good beers, good buds, and good banter. Good night.